You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. Good morning to all of South Florida and a portion of the western Bahamas, and then those folks living in that kind of crescent shape under Lake Okeechobee there. A few of those counties are getting our broadcast. Welcome and greetings to all of you. This is A Biblical Response for the 24th of February of 2026. It's always amazing we burn up the days, you know. I'm going to, before we introduce the topic for the day, I must introduce my wonderful co-host. I will say Stephanie Jacobson is out serving the Lord. I think she's in D.C. right now with whatever events going on up there that God has called her to bring her testimony and her his truth there. So we pray for her, lifting Stephanie up as she serves him and steps into some very, you know, some very difficult places with people that she has to minister to and with, certainly. Well, we are privileged and blessed to have the other two co-hosts here, extant, alive, and looking in pretty good shape. Keith Masters, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Brother David. How are you?
Man, I'm super. Thank the Lord. Just blessed all to pieces.
Amen. Amen.
And you are too.
I am.
We are both.
I am.
You are. Yeah, you always are. We always are if we're believers. And Keith and I are both in a version of the throes of home construction.
Yep.
So we need your prayers.
Things are going on. Really? That's for sure. That's for sure. We're not sleeping.
No.
Aww.
We're having a roof done.
My wife might be listening today. She's home.
We're having a roof done. And when I got home yesterday, Mondays I work full-time here. So, and they were pounding away. It was an interesting cacophony of hammer sound.
You both should think that it's only a temporary thing to lead to great results at the end.
Absolutely.
It is. We're praying for
temporary discomfort leads to.
It's fine. You know what? Yeah. It's not even discomfort. It's fine. It's more than fine.
Yeah. Really.
And you know, it just teaches you different things along the way.
It does.
It does. Yeah. It strengthens us as people.
Amen. You know? I like your perspective, Keith.
More you and I think, too, are sharing about what's going on, you know, off the air, but that we're both trusting God because God's got to be in charge of everything that's important to us.
Amen.
Amen.
And, yeah, there's things we have to do and say and all that, but we're trusting him that he's running the show and guiding and directing and grace is flowing. And
yeah, so, full disclosure, though, you know, sometimes I give my wife a hard time about it, so I'm just.
Oh, my God.
We are human. We are human.
We are. So, yep.
And for as we much are. As the Lord guides our life is how much we allow him to guide our life.
Yep. Amen.
He won't just guide if you, you know, like how much are the both of you, am I allowing the Lord to lead our life? And I believe the three of us are doing that.
We are doing that.
Yeah.
I think it's to degrees, you know, every day there's a certain percentage.
With his grace. Yeah. By his grace.
By his grace only. And it's always that way. Well, Anne Limhoko has spoken up and it's then my turn to.
Good morning.
Welcome
I guess
you
I'll
this
officially
morning.
Say good morning to you and to all our listeners today.
You can. It's official.
Yeah.
The forms have already been signed, and I have them here. So well, this is wonderful. I can't say, and I really thank our listeners for tracking along with us, too, and praying for us.
Yes.
This is, I think, like, well, this is a different program than anything else we air here, either live or canned, because if we're dealing with stuff in the news, and we're seeing where the Spirit wants us to go, and we really do pray about that. I know from time to time, listeners will say, well, you didn't cover my favorite topic. And well, we don't have time to cover everything in the news. And it's what we really want to listen to, what the Lord's having us do. Today, this evening at 9 p.m., the president's going to deliver the State of the Union address to the whole nation, those that are listening, and certainly to both the House and the Senate members and other people who are invited to hear that speech. And, of course, that we can't report on what hasn't yet been said. There's been a lot of speculation, and most people are probably correct in the points that he's going to make. But
yes,
in our conversation yesterday as we were preparing for this program, the question arose is, why don't we look at the spiritual state of the union, which we've kind of, the Lord's been leading us to do over time in the program.
Yeah.
And so because that's in the news, the State of the Union address, our response is going to be something that we can look at and talk about, and that's what we're going to do, is the state of the spiritual union of America.
Amen.
And I'm going to kind of get Ann to get us going on this.
I just want our listeners to know that it was kind of difficult yesterday as we were going through in our hour-long phone conversation. We went through different topics. And then when it was only with this topic that we felt that peace, I don't know if I can attest to how I felt the peace, but we always want to correlate what we cover on today's show with a current event. And we know that tonight the president is speaking, and I'm going to be tuning in. But I think that the more important question that we as Christians should ask is, who is addressing the spiritual state of our nation? That's the most important. Don't you agree? I'm looking at my two co-hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Are we really trusting only in governmental powers and processes to heal our land? Because if we're looking just at government and President Trump and what the government can do, we are not looking rightly. Because he is not our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And I just want to attribute an article that I saw from a pastor in Arkansas who wrote this article back in 2015. Some of what I'm going to be saying, I'm attributing to this man who wrote this article, okay? So I don't want to take credit. But I believe, and we all love America in here, but we believe that each citizen needs to be involved in the charting, in charting the future of our nation. We each have a responsibility, right? And I believe that our churches have compartmentalized faith.
To put in a box.
So we have put faith in a box, and we have not allowed our faith to influence the nation. This is detrimental. And as a result, our nation has become a product of this very sad reality. And I do believe, and we talk about this all the time on A Biblical Response, that our faith cannot be checked at the front door like a piece of luggage at the airport.
Yes,
we need to go outside the four walls of the church. We must live out our faith in every area of our lives. And I say that because we have to counter culture. We as Christians and the church cannot adapt to culture. We need to counter culture. We are called to be countercultural by not conforming to the world's behaviors, values, and systems, as emphasized in Romans 12:2. So instead of blindly following cultural trends, we as Christians need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I got Keith there with his open Bible, big open Bible right in front of us, rejecting sinful patterns while engaging with the culture. So the time is now. I mean, how many times are we going to say this on this program, right, Keith? The time is now that we as Christians need to rise up, and we're calling our churches to rise up to address the spiritual state of our nation. We are asking our listeners, what do you believe is the spiritual state of our nation? What do we need to do as a church, as the collective body of Christ, as his bride? Okay. And we are going to talk about four different points that this pastor from Arkansas talked about in 2015, which is still applicable today. Because if we don't do something now, I mean, we have no hope. Okay. The signs of our brokenness are glistening all over society. We look at the destruction of family, right? They want to destroy family. They want to kill our unborn children. And we have, what, 63 million babies that have died since Roe versus Wade?
I've seen as high as 66 million.
And that's the low. Yeah, 63 to 66 million. We have the mutilation of our children. Now they think it's okay for a boy to become a girl and a girl to become a boy. We have rebellion against authority. We see what's happening with our police officers, with ICE. We have the Islamization of our country. The Muslims have come in and want to take over. I mean, right? This is something that's not new. We've talked about all this on past programs. the rising threat of our security and the clear attacks against religious liberty and freedom. So we need to do something as a church. So these are four things we're going to talk about today. And David and Keith, we're all going to talk about these 4 points and just expound upon them. But this is where we believe we need to go. We need to repent. That's the very first point. I'll go through all four and then we'll dissect the 4 points. Okay, so our audience knows. The first is we need to repent, which is so foundational to anything. The second is we need to return to God. The third is we need the church to wake up. And fourthly, we desperately need a spiritual awakening in this country.
Amen.
I was doing research on the first and second awakenings that we've had through the 1800s, 17 to 1800s. And that was like a turning point for the country. We need another spiritual awakening in this country. So let's dissect the first point, which is we need to repent. What do you guys think?
Oh, I'm on top of that. Yes. Yeah, as a nation, we need to repent. But I would say, and as a pastor myself, and having spent 40 years pastoring, or more than 40, but in getting to know other pastors and with how they conduct their ministries, there hasn't been a lot of preaching and teaching from the pulpit, from the leadership of the church, to their people about what's going on in this nation and the fact that we are responsible as a nation to repent. But where does that begin? Begins with you and me.
Amen.
Recognizing the sin of America.
Yeah, we have to do that.
Owning that.
Amen. And I think that, you know, there might be somebody listening out there that's never heard the word repent before. Mm. Mm-hmm. And just to understand what that word means, because it doesn't tell you to change your life. Mm-hmm. What it's telling you or asking you to do is to change your way of thinking and understand God.
Yes.
And come to the love and the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
And to change the ways that you used to be, and to turn completely around, just Amen. Asking God for help. So it's not to scorn, it's to love.
Amen.
It's to love.
Yes,
it's in love.
I love that point.
Yeah, it's to love and to open up your heart to the love of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And repentance is wonderfully transformational.
Right.
Because we are made to be, God doesn't change. We find that out.
Right.
God stays the same. He
Absolutely.
Is perfect.
Right.
When you're perfect, you don't need to change. But we're not.
Right.
On the opposite end. So when we have a relationship with the Lord, and we come to recognize the damage our sin has done to us and to others, and we repent. That repentance process is, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I don't want to do that anymore. So the transformational part of grace is God brings us to the point where our lives change. So we don't do that anymore.
Right. When Jesus changed my life, because I used to drink and I used to smoke and I used to gamble, I repented at the time, not realizing that I was repented. I said, I'm sorry. I was on my knees. I was crying like a baby because the Lord showed me who I was as to my pride was interfering with who I actually was and who I thought I was.
Right.
So when God showed me that he actually opened it up for me to see my life and who I wasn't. And just that where I said, I'm sorry, and I meant it with all my heart. And as it says in Psalms 145, you know, when you come to me with all your heart, he will come to you. So that this is exactly what happened. And this is what we mean by repentance, to really just apologize.
I think as Christians, we need to do this on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us in the room have been Christians for a long time. So we hear repent and it's like, mm-hmm. okay, we repent of our sins, right? But daily, what have we done to offend the Lord? Not, you know, like consciously sometimes, right? Sometimes we do things, but we have to make it a posture. Do you believe it needs to be a posture
mm-hmm.
to repent and just realize who we are and who he is? And that will just, in the face of an amazing, great God, we are nothing. But he chose to give his son, Jesus Christ, to us in order to be that sacrifice. So when we talk about repenting, David and Keith, I think individually, but I also believe, and you said this earlier, David, mm-hmm. collective
repentance.
We need to,
right.
And which I've heard the term, and I don't know if our listeners have, identificational repentance, where we identify with sins that have committed in our nation, mm-hmm. some that we don't even have responsibility, it's not our fault. the right. killing of unborn babies. Like I told you, since 1973 with that Roe versus Wade, there have been an estimated 63 to 66 million abortions. That's crazy. It's crazy. The amount. Have we repented to the Lord? Because that happens every day.
That's
I think I read a statistic this morning, 1,000 abortions a day in Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the statistics are, but it's horrendous.
The church doesn't speak about that enough.
I agree.
The church does not speak about that enough, and it doesn't open up to what the Bible says, the Word of God, what the Word of God is saying about abortion. And, you know, if I can, I met someone who's a Christian, and they believe that... And I have a situation. Well, it's not a situation, but my thinking is that I'm voting supporting non-abortion. I'm supporting pro-life. Mm-hmm. That's how I vote. So that's what
At the ballot box. You want to vote for somebody who's pro-choice.
Who's pro-choice. That's what my stand is, because Jesus is life.
That makes sense.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So I was speaking to another Christian who is not who is not a, what's the word?
The person's pro-choice.
Never Trumper.
Oh, okay.
So they vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with them. Well.
A Christian.
This is a Christian. What about abortion? And the reply that I got was that it's not on them because they're not the ones having the abortion, but that it's on the person having the abortion. Mm. So. If you're a believer in Jesus, but what we're doing here is we're opening up the door to the enemy to allow the enemy to infiltrate into the rest of the community.
We have to take responsibility for what we can do to stop abortion. And it's when you're saying this, I'm just like so disheartened. You know what I mean? That this person believes that there's no responsibility for us.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where the separation is.
Yeah.
You know, they say politics and they say politics and God don't mix. Well, I'm sorry, but God is everywhere. God is in politics.
Yes.
And if you don't think that, then you're separating yourself from God when you're going to the ballot box. And I don't mean to bring it up. This is not about politics right now.
Yeah.
This is about who we are as Christians and about repenting and about coming back to the knowledge of God.
I think that we need to be on our knees and repent for what's happening until abortion is eradicated from this country. Let me talk about other topics that came to mind that we need to repent on.
Okay, before we do that.
Go ahead.
It's coming to me that some people who are listening are still struggling with repenting as a nation.
Okay.
Okay, and I feel like I need to address that because when we say that, God looks to, I'm just going to say, for these issues we're talking about, God looks to Christians in America. Not that he hasn't put on the hearts of those that are in other parts of the world to pray for our nation and for its restoration, because I know he has.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking now to listeners here in America.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, okay, how can I consider, understand a nation repenting for its sin? And the truth is that God, yes, he's calling America to repent, but he's doing it through individuals who believe. We go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I love this. It's been repeated several times. I began to hear it after September 26, 2020, when Jonathan Cahn and Kevin Jessup, as the leaders of an event or even a movement called The Return, which was held on that day on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and it was the beginning of a national repentance. Mm. But what we need to understand is I personally am not responsible for everybody else living in America to repent, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't have that authority for one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have that reach.
Mm-hmm.
I am responsible to hear what God is saying to me personally and to agree with God in prayer that I need to personally embrace the fact that America must repent of its sins, which means I also need to personally be aware of those sins.
Yeah.
As so many people are ignorant about I mean, not, and it doesn't mean stupid. I mean ignorant, because you don't know. Once, now that you know, you're not ignorant anymore. But point is, we do it individually. We agree with God that we're going to join the our brothers and sisters in Christ in repenting for the sins of America, which we are aware of, like abortion, like the whole gender fluidity and all the mutilation of our children that really doesn't turn them into what they think they should be. There's also, I mean, ton of other stuff, waste, fraud, and abuse.
Can I say that there has been identificational repentance displayed in the Bible? And I did research on this because I also foresaw that this may be a difficult subject for our listeners to digest. But examples include Nehemiah. He repented on behalf of the nation of Israel. We could see that in Nehemiah 1, verse 6. Daniel did it for Israel. We see that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. And priest Ezra. Ezra, chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. They confessed past and present national sins to seek God's mercy and restoration. So there's that, those examples in the Bible.
Right. And that all comes under the heading I was going to read, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, now when you say if my people, he's speaking both individually and corporately there.
Yes.
Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And all, we're all doing this individually in our prayer closets. And turn from their wicked ways, which is their repentance, is just that, turning from your wicked ways.
Yeah.
Then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's God's promise to us. And we are only responsible for our response, but we must take responsibility for that, for us.
The Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh.
Yeah.
And for Nineveh to repent.
Yeah.
The whole of Nineveh. And because they repented, they listened to Jonah, they listened to the word of God, and because of that, they were given grace for, what, another 100 years they were.
That's right.
That's beautiful. God wanted to...
Powerful.
God wanted to destroy the nation, and remember, he said, if I could find, you know, 10 people, and then it kept getting lower, and who was it?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Abraham. And he's like, will you destroy if there's 9, 8, right. 7? So look at how much... The Lord looks to his church, his bride, to stand in righteousness in our nation.
Amen.
We are so key as Christians to be the light in this nation. So should we go to the second one, or should we, what do you think?
I want to make sure we've all exhausted our commentary. Not that we, there's so much more we could talk about, certainly, and the hour dissipates. But we're about maybe 6 minutes away from our first, or only break, so...
And we're going to open up the phones, too, I believe.
Yes, and listen, listener, if you want to call in, if you have a comment or a question, and you're invited to do that, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. We'll give you a few minutes to express yourself. This is, by the way, I must again remind you, we want to hear from you, either... You know, opposed or in favor. We're not going to debate you. We don't have the time to do that. So once you've shared your heart, then we'll thank you for your call and we'll move on for the rest of the program.
You know, I just want to bring up that the Lord wanted Nineveh to repent, right? So he was sending somebody over there.
Yes.
And then Jonah, as the prophet, decided that he didn't want to do it. God still had favor and mercy with Jonah and brought him to Nineveh.
Yeah.
So we don't always, you know, you might not, you know, this is from the emotional side.
Okay.
Because Jonah was very afraid of those people because of how evil and wicked that they were. So he was afraid of them, and God just told him to go there. So he got him there. But it's not about the emotion. It's about who God is for the repentance.
Amen.
That's the love of God.
Before we move on, something just came to me, and that has to do, you were talking about Abraham petitioning God to save Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah.
And he got down to 10 people. And if there were just 10 righteous people, God would not wreak havoc. It would not send fire down from heaven. Right. Right.
Didn't it go down lower to 10?
I don't believe so. Well, somebody
maybe
listening.
Maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, and it's and my whole premise in using that number is that I don't believe, go and check on that, Ann, while I'm saying this, because I don't want to, I'm now at a point where I thought I knew what that final number was, because that number 10 is
He started
important.
With 50, I believe.
I might be wrong.
He started with 50 and went down to 10.
Well, maybe someone can call in and correct me, but I do believe he went down to 10. And
it's 10.
No more than that. So it's here's 10. The deal. Now, Jesus changed Jewish law about how many you needed minimum to have a synagogue, and that was 10.
Oh.
Now, Jesus said, wherever two or more gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. But back then, when Abraham, and of course, this was before Mosaic law, but there's some strictures in place about community, how you build community, how you start. So the minimum number was 10. Mm-hmm. So if there weren't 10 righteous people, God people, which is, a minimum to be a community, a congregation of worship.
In the synagogue.
And praise in the synagogue. There weren't enough people there to be a seed.
Right.
The spirit, seed of the spirit to move in that. God would have moved if there were 10. There weren't even 10.
And
there weren't even 5.
And Sodom and Gomorrah was so much smaller. Look at the whole nation now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to compare it to today's times.
But here again, that God is calling us individually, but also as a community of faith.
Yeah.
And the larger body of Christians in America, individually, doing what God wants us to do as a community then.
Mm-hmm.
And as we invest, as we plant that seed in the fertile ground of our nation, then that's going to grow and repentance is going to grow.
Yeah.
Because we have at least a minimum number of people who are righteous before God.
Why don't we just do a quick prayer on repentance really quickly before we move to break? Because I think it's something that we need to do. I mean, we're telling our listeners to do it.
Right. Let's
so,
start.
So, Lord, I just want to say on behalf of myself, I repent for anything I've done before you. And I know that David and Keith as well. But, Lord, we want to say that we are sorry for the sins that have been committed in this land, Lord Jesus. We repent for the millions of babies that have been murdered in this country, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would pour out your forgiveness and your grace upon this country, Jesus, because it says in 2 Chronicles, Lord God, that if we turn to you and turn from our wicked ways, Lord God, you will heal our land. And that is what your word says, Jesus. We ask for your forgiveness for slavery of African Americans, for modern slavery happening today, Lord, for pride, thinking that we don't need you in this country, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness. Would you pour out your mercy and your grace upon this country, Jesus? And we sincerely want to say we are sorry for what has happened, what continues to happen in this country, Lord. We believe that this country is a nation under God, and we praise you and we honor you that it's going to be rededicated in May, Lord. We praise you and we honor you today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Ann.
Amen.
Yeah,
let's take a break now. When we come back, we'll move through the rest of the three points left.
Yep.
If you're taking notes, I hope you're taking notes. And this break won't last that long, but we'll be right back. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to Biblical Response. And again, I remind you, maybe up till this point, you have an idea, a comment, a question you'd like to throw at us. And the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And you've been so wonderful in leading us there with these points. We're now point two, right?
Yeah, let's just do a recap, though. So, you know, President Trump is going to be giving us the State of the Union.
That's right.
So then the Lord gave us the idea. Let's talk about the spiritual state of our union. And we brought up, we are talking about 4 points during the duration of the show on how to kind of, what do we need to do, basically? The 4 points are, what do we need to do as a nation to go back to God? The first one we discussed in the first half hour is we need to repent. And now the second point we're going to discuss is we need to return to God.
Yes.
So, you know, this country was built on a deep, deep belief in God.
Amen.
Okay. There was a desire for religious liberty, which was the catalyst for the beginning of our nation. And we have fallen so far from that point. Mm-hmm. And it's so clear that we as a nation need to return to God. Individually, as you know, we all need to reach, but collectively, we need to return to God.
Amen. And we reinforce the fact that it's both individual and collective.
Yep.
That, you know, and I know people, gosh, I will tell you, the early days of my Christian walk, when I'd hear about something that people saying, God wants us to do this, God wants us to do that. I said, that's great, you do it. You know, I mean,
oh, no.
I didn't have a sense of ownership, I guess, in my own, you know, Christian faith, but today, I mean, the truth is, we all has different ways of us responding and out of our giftings and all, but basically we're all called to prayer. And that's kind of the ground where we begin to return to God, is in prayer is where that relationship is nourished.
What are your thoughts, Keith?
I was just thinking with the State of the Union, as you were going over that, you know, the last time I saw President Trump addressing the State of the Union, who was the speaker?
4 years ago.
That was Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And the disrespect that she had tearing up his State of the Union address.
Right in back of him?
Right behind him.
She even stood up to do it.
She stood up to do it. And this is what we're talking about, returning to God.
Yeah.
Okay? This is why the country needs spiritual awakening. Because of actions like this, disrespecting the office of the presidency. And God put him there for a reason and for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to disrespect him is doing the same as disrespecting the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I don't know what to expect tonight, but I know there's going to be something because they're just blind to who God is, right? So,
and it's a spiritual battle. We say that every show, it's a spiritual battle. So that's why there is this utter hate. You know what I mean? There's a hatred that exists.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's indicative of the spiritual battle. And, you know, returning to the nation requires just a spiritual revival, which we need to humble ourselves. And we'll talk a lot more about that in our fourth point, which is spiritual awakening.
The prophet Hosea issues a call to his people. And it's in chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to this, because this speaks to where we are today.
Yeah.
He prays. He says, praying to the Lord, he says, come. Let us return to the Lord.
Mm.
He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us.
Amen.
He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds.
Yeah.
And in the sense that he's allowed us to tear ourselves up with the sin of this nation.
Yes.
That we have done. But now's a call to return.
We need to return.
And frankly, you know, and Jonathan Cahn has been good about pointing out that if we don't, we come under great judgment.
We do.
Look at what happened to Israel when they did not repent and return to the Lord.
Yep.
Horrible things happen.
That's why it's huge that President Trump, who is the ultimate authority in our land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. when I say ultimate authority, the governmental authority that Keith said that the Lord had put him in place, because it says in Romans 13, he puts people in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
He announced a major event in Washington, D.C. that's scheduled for May 17th, which I hope to be going, and that is to rededicate America as one nation under God. I don't think people know how huge this is for the president of our land, the executive CEO of our land, to announce that this is going to be done. Okay, and this is what the official White House website says, and I'll kick it to you, Keith, because I know you got something to say. I could tell in your eyes. As we celebrate 250 years of freedom, this is an opportunity to rededicate ourselves to the principles that gave birth to this land of liberty. As George Washington famously said in his farewell address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Like, for a president to actually acknowledge that religion and morality, which is God, is the foundation and should be the pillars of our nation. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And we're going to publicly do this before God.
I just don't understand exactly. I don't understand for this president that who is rededicating the country to God, why there is so much angst against him from the left side.
Deception.
So, right.
Deception. And they don't know the Lord. So, they don't know the Lord. Some Republicans don't know the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand that. I understand
every
that.
Party yep. Yeah, yeah.
But for the Christians, my question comes to the Christians who have such upset with the president of the United States who is rededicating this country to God.
Yeah.
I don't understand that part of that of the story.
We
here.
Need to pray
You're
for these
begging
people.
The next point.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in a minute, which is we need the church to wake up.
Yeah.
And that's why you're experiencing that. I totally agree with you, bro. It's disheartening at some level.
It's painful.
To see my brothers and sisters not getting it, you know. But we do need to return to God as a nation.
You know, the in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it tells us, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. And this is from the NIV version.
Okay.
This is from the New International Version. And it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. Now, when I was reading this, I saw that this could be misinterpreted because I was thinking about when, and I'm this isn't about politics, but when President Biden was in office and we had such angst with President Biden for how he was leading the country. So then I went to the New Living Translation, and the New Living Translation reads like this. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So the New Living Translation is speaking about the spiritual leadership in your life. And the NIV or other editions might be, you might be confusing it with secular leadership, which it's not about.
Okay.
But we do know that in the book of Daniel, he tells us that God puts the people in charge for where they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and we have issues. We always say that the left is wrong and the left says the right is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, in Proverbs 29:27, we read, the righteous detest the dishonest, the wicked detest the upright.
Yeah, exactly. Points to... There's the definition of the divide.
So what does it look like to return to the
divide.
Lord?
What
does it look like to return to the Lord? We have to hate the things he hates.
Right.
And we need to love the things that he loves.
Right.
And that only comes by reading the word of God and having the Spirit sanctify you.
Amen.
That will come naturally. Like Keith, when you became a Christian, did you lose drinking the second day? It had to be a process, your love for drinking, right?
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. He broke chains off of
me. Right away.
Right away.
Praise God.
He broke chains.
Actually, that has happened. That has happened. But it's sanctification.
The one thing, I did have like that one because I used to smoke. So I used to smoke cigarettes, and nobody was going to tell me that I was going to stop smoking. And even after I had my son, I was still, my wife and I would go back and forth because she wasn't a smoker. I was. And she asked me to start smoking in the backyard. So after the Lord came and saved me and delivered me, And my wife and I was just like, nobody was going to tell me I was going to quit smoking. That's just it. And God came into my life. I pulled into a Burger King and I had lunch. And, one of the cigarettes, if you're a smoker, they know that mm-hmm. it's the best cigarettes are after a meal or yep. with a cup of coffee.
Right.
And I lit up my cigarette after lunch. And all of a sudden, I took a couple of puffs. I just threw it out the window. Mm. I took the pack and I threw it in the garbage, mm-hmm. just like that.
So, listeners, what is the Lord calling you to give up?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't.
For you, it's cigarettes. It could be others. It could be so many other things.
He delivered me from all of my. He delivered me from
all the
gambling.
Addictions.
I mean, when I say chains broke.
Praise
literally.
The Lord.
You know, I heard him dropping anchor off a battleship. That's the only way that I can describe this, how mm-hmm. God moves in our lives. And if we just...
And it can happen to anyone who goes and turns to the Lord, right, Keith?
Amen.
But to be a little more global comment, because I'm on the opposite end, Keith. I met the Lord in 1976, and then over the decades since then, he has delivered me from addictions.
Yeah.
One at a time. But it was God's plan for me. His plan for you was that. But I think for our listeners to know that Keith's experience is for him. And there are others like him I've talked to that, right away. And then people like me, incrementally over time.
Yeah.
So the point is not comparison. There's no comparison.
Yeah.
Right. But when you give yourself, when you return to God, then he will begin a process that is crafted just for you.
Amen.
That will change your life.
Are you allowing the Lord to work in your life? Are you open to that?
Amen.
So those are things that are good questions to ask.
God makes a promise, by the way, in Zechariah.
Yeah.
Prophet Zechariah 1:3, God says, "Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you." And he doesn't say, "I'm going to wait 6 months." He says, when you willingly do that immediately, there's no distinction. Immediately, he returns to you.
Amen.
That's awesome,
amen.
Man. That is so
amen.
Awesome.
You know,
what a loving, merciful God.
Amen. God never leaves.
Yeah.
And of course, all of this, I'm going to go ahead and move us on to the third point.
Yeah, we have
because,
15 minutes left. I think
it's
a good idea.
The point is, it's a natural movement because the third point of how we would improve the spiritual state of the union is the church needs to wake up. Now, this has been a message that God has given us in this program consistently, almost in every one of our broadcasts we say this, but it's absolutely true. The church needs to wake up.
Absolutely.
And just, calling yourself a Christian is wonderful, but are you living that life? Is Jesus truly your king?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's my friend, he's my brother, he's my savior, but on the top of that list of who he is to me is my king. I listen to my king because I serve him, not the other way around.
Yeah. One thing I want to bring up about churches waking up is the church, the pillar needs to be the truth and the word of God.
Amen.
Because I've seen, and we've talked about some of this on the program, but we've seen pastors that have deviated from the truth and they come to their own theories that excuse abortion, that excuse LGBTQ lifestyles. And this is coming from pulpits.
Yeah.
And that's, in my opinion, completely heretical. And when the church needs to wake up, it means that we need to stand only on the truth of God, only on the word of God, not on your opinions, not on what culture dictates you and you want to fit into culture. Like I said in the beginning, we are countercultural. We are not to adapt to culture. So
Amen. This
is the heart of God, to preach the pure word of God and also to not stay within the four walls, but get activated. We need to do things outside in our spheres of influence.
Amen. You know, I heard on a platform, on one of the social media platforms this morning, and it was so appropriate, and I sent it out to a friend or two. And this is how it goes. And it says, faith and trust. And there was, in the summer of 1859, there were thousands of spectators, and they lined the cliffs of Niagara Falls. And a French acrobat named Charles Blondin crossed blindfolded. Now, this was 1,000 feet up above the falls, and it was 2 feet wide. And he walked across this, and he would go back and forth blindfolded. He actually brought a stove with him, and he cooked scrambled eggs on the tight wire. Is that
tight
what they call it?
Tight rope.
And he cooked the scrambled eggs, and then he yelled out to the crowd, and he said, "Who believes that I can take a wheelbarrow and put somebody in it and cross the tightrope over the Niagara Falls?" And everybody said yes. And he goes, "Who believes that I can do it?" Because he's done it. He's gone back and forth. He's fearless. Mm-hmm. He's trusting. He's doing everything. And everybody said, "You can do it. You can do it." And then the question came out, "Who's going to be the first one to sit in the wheelbarrow?"
Wow.
And he got nobody to come into the wheelbarrow.
Oh, so do you really believe?
Faith and trust. So I just saw that. That was, you know, we have faith knowing God. Mm. How much do we trust him getting into that wheelbarrow with Jesus?
Amen.
And it
begs
the question, which I love the way you brought that up.
Yeah.
Is for the church to wake up. Those of us need to know Jesus, not have a concept of Jesus, right?
It's not our opinion. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is everlasting.
That forms our mind and our opinions.
And God gives us the grace. Jesus gives us the grace as we walk through life learning his word, growing into his word on the journey that we have with Jesus, so that the mistakes that we make along the way are forgiven. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, so that you don't have to sit there every time and just think that you're walking down a bowling alley and that's your lane. Your lane is wide because Jesus gave us that wide lane to walk freely in him and through him, through the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Wherever he wants us to go.
Right.
But the key is wherever
trust.
He
faith
wants
and trust, right.
To go.
Right.
Trust.
Absolutely. Trust.
Here's one question I want to ask. Like, pastors, does your community know about your church? Or are you just confined within your four walls, not bringing the light out into the darkness outside of the four walls? You know what I mean? It's easy to get into the pattern of just the Bible studies within the four walls. But are you outside the four walls preaching the gospel? Outside the four walls? Are you out there telling people to go vote? Are you out there talking about the evils of the land? Because church, we need to be out there and engage in culture. Don't adapt to culture, but direct culture. So anyway, should we go to the fourth point? Because we got like 10 minutes left. Or do you have anything else?
Spiritual awakening.
Yeah. That's the fourth one. We need spiritual awakening.
Yeah. Well, the Lord has been doing that with going through the colleges and creating waves of resurgence and discovery and being born again. And as it tells us, you know, the colleges have just, we talked about this last week, I think, that we brought that up. That
the Lord is happening at Southeastern.
Right. The Lord is moving in the colleges, and he's reviving the country through the colleges and through the youth. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
And 3:5 says, Jesus says once again, most assuredly, most assuredly, he says, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Wow. We need a mass people coming into this awakening, because that is our only hope. We need a great, great revival in this nation. The Spirit needs to fall, because there's no hope unless God intervenes in our nation.
Well, we need to be standing up for the evil and the wickedness that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the fraud that goes on in Minneapolis. And then they turned around and they tried to take their eyes off of the fraud by doing the upsetting ICE and having riots in the streets and all of that. But that doesn't get covered up. God's eyes are everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's the spiritual awakening needs to come from each individual.
Yeah.
Strength as you walk in Christ. He leads us where we go, in front of us, behind us, to the side of us. The Lord leads us And we look to the Lord for that confidence in our walk.
There were two great awakenings that happened in the history of America. The first great awakening in the 1730s and 40s. And then we had a second great awakening that happened in the 1790s and 1840s. But these were transformative and changed our nation. Mm-hmm. And it starts with us, though. It's personal piety over established church doctrine was kind of the emphasis of the first great awakening, you know. But it starts with us. It starts with us and calling on the Lord to have mercy on our nation so that he will pour out his spirit, which the word says he's going to pour out his spirit in the last days.
Amen.
But we have to cry out for that. You know what
I mean?
We need that awakening. Does he see our hunger for that? Are we desperate enough for that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really the important question to ask.
You know, yeah. And I would, you know, with President Trump doing May, returning, rededicating the country back to God, I'd be interested to see what he says, mm-hmm. you know, because he already instilled a faith office in the White House. He's the first president to mm-hmm. ever do that, mm-hmm. To have a faith office in the White House. So he is looking to God. He knows that he's answering to God. And he stated that before, I believe, that he knows that we need God.
Yeah.
And he has said that and shown that in many ways.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that goes on May 17th.
You should go. I'm going.
I can watch it on TV.
I've been invited twice, so I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, are you wanting me to go? And I totally would want to be there. I'm not one for big crowds, but this is just such a momentous occasion. It says in Ephesians 5:14, let's get back to scripture. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, which I believe is kind of a clarion call to awakening. Awake, O sleeper. Awake, United States of America, and arise from the dead. Amen. Christ will shine on you.
There's one example that I want to share.
Okay.
That packs, I think, all of these 4 points into it, and you all can go online. If you want to, and you can search out Pastor Todd Smith at the Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. And back in February of 2018, so we're looking at, that was February of that year, following a 21-day fast, and he had him on the air here, soon after, while this was going on, because he says he got on his knees. He was just led by the Spirit. Now, I will say, too, and for many of our Baptist friends, that this may be a little countercultural for how he approached it. But point is he led by the Spirit to get on his knees and pray to see the face of Jesus.
Wow.
And there was an emptiness within his heart. And the Spirit of God was moving him as a pastor to have that personal relationship with the Lord that he hadn't had till that point. And following, then Jesus revealed himself to Pastor Todd Smith. And following that point, revival began in February 2018 at this church. Again, this Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. It's ongoing today. Hundreds of people, every Sunday, tons of people get saved. They get baptized. They had to add another. They do immersion, so they had to add another tank.
Mm.
And miracles have occurred during baptisms.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There was one early
Hallelujah.
But this is what we're talking about. This is an example that you can actually check on. You can see videos. You can read articles about what's going on at this church. But what's happening there is what God wants to happen in his church.
Amen.
Not just in America, but in the world. But God knows we need it here.
I've talked about this so many times. David's probably sick of me talking about this, but I'm in the process of finishing a book called God's Generals, The Revivalists. Okay, and these are some of the revivalists that this book details short biographies. We're looking at John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, Francis Asbury, Peter Cartwright, Charles Finney, Dwight Moody, William and Catherine Booth, and Billy Graham. My point is, it was these powerful preachers that ignited it. So it has to start at the pulpit.
Amen.
Preachers preaching. It has to come from the pulpit. Preaching to us and igniting that fire of revival. It comes, it's not only preaching, but there's a personal responsibility. Are we living holy lives?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are we living, like, that's a reflection of me. And I hope the reason we're not getting calls is people are so affected because they're really affected by what we're saying, because it's heavy.
It is
what
heavy.
We're saying is very heavy. Are they personally reflecting? Do we each have deep prayer lives? Are we surrendered in complete obedience? Complete obedience. Do we have a passion to see the supernatural? God mm-hmm. still moves today. He still heals today. If you say God doesn't heal today, you're holding back what God could do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Do we have the hunger for the word? And the focus on holiness is so big. We need to have that personal life of holiness. We do.
Amen.
So.
And this is God is calling us to do this.
He's calling us to
it's
do
not
this.
Not Ann doing it or Dave
no,
or Keith.
No, each, every one of us.
We're sharing what God has given to us, and it's a wonderful thing. But what are you going to do with it, listener?
Yeah, it starts with us.
Yeah.
We each have to sit before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. We do. We all are saved by the blood of Christ, but are we pleasing the Lord? I think that's in Colossians. What are we doing to please the Lord? Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I was like, wow. Wow. Is my life pleasing to the Lord?
Amen.
Is what I do every day pleasing to the Lord? So.
Often I think churches have become spectator sport, you know.
Unfortunately.
And it's unfortunate, although I know God wants to change that and is working to change it. But it's the difference, because when I go to a football game or a baseball game or whatever kind mm-hmm. of sport, I am a spectator. I'm not expected to participate. You know, my participation is I bought a ticket, I bought some popcorn or whatever you're going to eat or drink, and you're going to sit there and watch the game and you're going to cheer. And a lot of Christians are sitting in the church doing the same thing. You throw a little money in the plate. Maybe you raise your hands, your arms when the pastor says something in his sermon that excites you. But you're not going anywhere with it. You're just a spectator. But Jesus, his parting words to his disciples, I refer to the Great Commission all the time, said, you know, I have the authority. I'm giving it to you. Go. You go. You go.
Amen.
Into all the world. You tell people what I commanded you. You do this. You make disciples. You do this.
It's
not a spectator sport.
No. We have to participate.
We do.
And to believe the Lord. I was having breakfast with a friend of mine. This is a couple of months ago. And there was a situation that occurred. And at the breakfast table, he received the Lord, Jesus, as his Savior. Mm. Now, this guy is a big guy, a burly guy, you know, a New York guy. He's, you know, he's not.
Yeah, we
you
get
know,
it.
You yep. know, he's a rough and tough guy, right?
Yeah.
So he accepted the Lord, and it was just such a great moment. But then, you know, I'm like, okay, and we met for a couple of weeks, and then we stopped meeting because he got busy and everything. And what do? I start to worry. I start to worry that, gee whiz, maybe he's not going to be close enough to the Lord, right?
Mm.
I'm out on the street yesterday, right? I'm out on the street yesterday sharing the Lord. And lo and behold, he drives by. He drives by, he stops, he yells out, God bless you, Keith. And I'm like, whoa, you know, let's go out to breakfast.
Wow.
Let the Lord do the work. Let the Lord do the work. You know, we're not in a book of rules. We're in a book of love from Jesus. Let Jesus do the work through the Holy Spirit. And there are things that will change in your life, but hold on for the ride.
Can I end really quickly with that Colossians verse?
We need to do that, yeah.
Okay, Colossians 1, verse 10. That we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And am I living a life worthy of the Lord? Keith, are you? Mm. Listener, are you? David, are you? That's where we want to leave you. Are you living a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him? Is he pleased with you? I think we need to let our listeners ruminate on that and ask Holy Spirit. Ask Holy Spirit.
To be honest, that question that Ann uttered is very fundamental.
Yeah.
The most fundamental question you need to ask right now.
Yeah.
And I pray that you will.
Yeah.
And our time is up. Thank you for listening today. Thank you, Keith and Ann, for being with us.
Praise God.
And I know Stephanie's been praying with us, so thank you, dear, for that.
Amen.
We'll be back next week.
Thank you for joining us.
Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@A Biblical Response. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.